This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
We're going to talk with Brian Wheeler now. Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, and he joins us every Tuesday, come rain or shine, in studio, out studio, at the point, not at the point. Brian is here to talk growth and development. Good afternoon, Brian.
Good afternoon.
It's we have this door cracked open here, and this lovely breeze is coming in. It's perfect.
You are not missing a beat on remote.
What do you mean?
You just keep on going like we're in the studio. You know exactly when to start talking, and I'm sitting here, I'm just like daydreaming out the window here.
We're staring at the ice park.
Looking at the ice park. I saw Dave Norris, city councilor, walk by.
Yeah, I saw Dave walk by. I wonder what he's doing over here. There's actually, there's some kind of event going on here at the Omni over in the ballroom as we speak, big security equipment or something. I was over there, actually. It's pretty interesting. So before we go any further, I want to congratulate you on your announcement. You are currently serving on the Albemarle County School Board, and you have announced that you are going to seek your re-election for your at-large seat.
That's true.
So I know it's going to be a busy year for you. Congratulations.
Thank
and good
you.
Luck.
I'm looking forward to the campaign.
And now we'll change hats. As executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, is a little town, isn't it? A lot of people wear different hats here. Speaking of elections, Ann Malik announced, what, today?
She did. She had informally announced previously, but today was her formal announcement on the steps of the county office building. And Charlottesville Tomorrow was there, and of course we've got a podcast online. And you can also watch the video. We've been having fun with videos recently. We have put a couple up, and we're using YouTube and Google Video. And I'm finding that Google just wants all video content. They don't care how big it is. They're just like a big sponge,
yeah,
soaking up content. And Charlottesville Tomorrow is parking our big videos up there on Google.
Well, as long as Viacom doesn't sue you for $1 billion, you should be okay. I doubt that will happen. But I don't think you have any proprietary content posting to Google.
Ann Malik is running in the Whitehall district of the county, and she's running against the incumbent, David Wyant, who's from Whitehall. Ann is a farmer from Earliesville, and she'll be starting off her campaign now. She will seek the Democratic nomination. Mr. Wyant has not officially declared yet, but everyone is expecting him to seek a second term on the Board of Supervisors.
So this is his first term he's in now. And is this David Wyant is from the he lives in Whitehall, right? He lives
Correct.
In the Whitehall area. So he represents Crozet.
The Whitehall district goes from Crozet through Free Union and then up to northern Earliesville. So it's sort of that northwestern part of the county.
Gosh, is it? Let me ask you this, just in a total nuts and bolts question. We have talked before about how it makes sense, it would make sense to have somebody from that Crozet growth area on the Board of Supervisors, but at the same time, it also makes sense for somebody from the Whitehall area and the Earliesville area. They're very, very different, and yet we've got one district covering this whole area, and you can't have 30 supervisors.
You know, that is true, Coy, of a lot of our magisterial districts. We have six districts. A lot of them have a small slice of an urbanizing, you know, part of the county. So whether it's the Scottsville district, which has everything along Biscuit Run, Mill Creek, Lake Renovia, and, you know, the development up north, but then it's very rural in the south. You've also got the Ravana district, which has a big slice of 29 north, but then it also has 20 north. So you see that variety in each of our magisterial districts, and that, you know, certainly presents challenges for, I think, any candidate trying to effectively represent both parts of that district.
We're live at the point at the Omni Charlottesville Hotel, giving away Neil Bortz tickets today. Look forward to you coming down and registering to win. We're talking with Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. What is the latest? You mentioned Biscuit Run, of course, the largest community planned in the history of Albemarle County. They haven't turned a shovel yet, it's my understanding, but the planners are quite busy at work. Staff at the county is busy at work. Community neighborhood people are busy at work with their own ideas for what should and shouldn't happen down there. What's the latest?
This is a big month for Biscuit Run, Coy. There is a public hearing in front of the Albemarle County Planning Commission on March 27th, and that will be the night that they're expected to vote on this project. It will go from the Planning Commission to the Board of Supervisors, so there will be future opportunities for the public to weigh in, but this is the first vote by the decision makers to really say whether they think this is an appropriate time for the development, whether it's the appropriate size, whether they have the appropriate proffers. Those are contributions a developer makes to mitigate the impact of new residential housing coming to the community. And the Virginia Department of Transportation is a little late in the analysis, but they've delivered their analysis of the transportation proffers for Biscuit Run, and they've put some shockingly large numbers on the transportation requirements.
Shockingly large?
Shockingly large.
The transportation, you mean on the numbers of cars?
Well, no, that we had, and that is about 30,000 vehicle trips a day that the Biscuit Run development will bring to the community. It's about 3,100 homes, and VDOT went in and looked at the traffic study and then had to make an estimate as to what they would have to do to upgrade road capacity. They focused on just three roads, Route 20, Avon Street, and Old Lynchburg Road. They ran the numbers on that, and they came up with $88 million worth of improvements that would have to be made on just those three roads. So forget about the other proffers that you and I have talked about, whether it's traffic lights in the city, a contribution towards the widening of the bridge, a contribution towards...
Widening of what bridge?
The bridge at 5th Street over
I-64. 5th Street extended, yeah.
We've talked recently about proffers to go towards the Granger property and a road through there for the Fontaine Avenue Sunset Connector.
That total doesn't include any of that.
This $88 million is just for Route 20, Avon Street, Old Lynchburg Road. And then they said, okay, what is the developer's share of that? And they put a number of $32 million on the developer's portion that they are expecting a contribution for to mitigate the road improvements.
Has the developer offered any kind of proffer that's even close to that?
Actually, their total proffers were, by their math, were in the neighborhood of $30 million. So that was where they were in total.
So we're close.
Well, again, VDOT is just talking about three roads. Their other proffers included a school site. It included a park.
Oh, so the developer's proffers include a bunch of stuff.
That totals up, by their analysis, to $30 million.
So we're not even close. So,
we're not even close, which brings... So that's an important issue. And that VDOT analysis is up on Charlottesville Tomorrow's website, cvilletomorrow.org. It's on our blog, and you can find it there.
And how serious does the county take VDOT's estimations? Like, are those the numbers, or does the county redo it?
They're being very guarded with their their response to that information at this point. Unfortunately, it came in after the county staff had already set a deadline for all the information they could consider before we went to the Planning Commission for a vote. So VDOT came in late with those numbers. The analysis will be presented to the Albemarle County Planning Commission, so they will see that. But the staff haven't had a chance to factor that in or do their own assessment of VDOT's work.
So it sounds like this thing is very, very slow going, which is the very nature of development. It's just sort of crawling along and very, very expensive. As big as Biscuit Run is, it's going to have a startlingly, what's that word you use? Startlingly?
Starting. I don't think I used that word because I can't say it.
It's going to have a huge, tremendous impact on our infrastructure here.
You know, you often hear some people say it takes too long to get things approved. But then there are other people who say we need to be deliberative about how we approve things.
Yeah.
And something that's the biggest development in the county's history, I think we ought to make sure we're looking at all the facts, that we have the best information on the table, that everyone has expressed their point of view, and that can all be factored into the final decision.
And so far from what you've seen, because you've been to every meeting, everybody involved in the process would agree with that. There's nobody, whether it's county staff or on the Board of Supervisors or the Planning Commission, that's really trying to rush this.
I don't think so, no.
Which is good news.
I think they are trying to move in a coordinated fashion through all the different issues that have to be addressed for something this big. And it's transportation, it's land use, it's parks, it's schools, you name it.
Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, and he joins us here at the Point Lounge at the Omni to talk growth and development. What's up with the Board of Supervisors, the county budget that made news today, and lots of people I ran into today were talking about it.
This is going to be in the news for many weeks, and Neil Bortz would have a lot of fun talking about this. But I don't think anyone at the county office building is listening to our radio program today, Coy, because they are all scrambling. Yesterday, the Board of Supervisors asked staff to develop a new budget request that would reflect a six cent reduction in the tax rate. So the current tax rate is 74 cents in the county per $100 of assessed value. And they reached consensus yesterday to see what it would look like if they went and lowered the tax rate to 68 cents. Now, that still means more revenues because, of course, the assessments have gone up a lot more than what that rate differential means.
Yeah, you basically have a tax increase if they keep the tax rate the same and the property, your value of your property goes up, which it's gone up 30% on average in the last 2 years in the county.
That's right.
So you're going to pay more taxes. So if I hear you right, they're actually considering the idea of reducing taxes in the county. What brought this on?
By 6 cents. And what brought it on is a lot of concern from the public about the ability to deal with the increased assessments. And I think they're really feeling that. Three members of the Board of Supervisors said they wanted to start this discussion at 68 cents. Another supervisor said, how about 71? Another one said 72. And another one said, let's not change it, 74. So they were sort of all over the map. And the county executive is sitting there looking for direction as to what to do next. And they've got four budget work sessions to nail this down. Now, unfortunately, they had all this information back in November when they had a projection of what the assessments were going to be. And in my personal opinion, that would have been the time to say, let's talk about 68 cents. Would have given staff a lot more time to develop some different scenarios and help explain the impact and make the case for different investments. I think any organization, whether it's a for-profit, nonprofit, or a government entity, needs to look through the drawer and figure out, do we need all these knives, the big forks you were talking about here at the Omni? Do we have the right tools in the toolbox? Do we need to make different investments? How can we be more efficient? I think those are all good questions. You have some supervisors are coming forward and asking those questions and saying, let's tighten the belt. Let's figure out how we can do more with less. Other supervisors are saying, that's all fine. Let's have that conversation. But let's not forget, board, that we approved a strategic plan. We've sat in meeting after meeting after meeting looking at our vision for Albemarle County and the things we want. We've talked about, there's some things that are out of their hands. Funding of transportation. You're going to talk to the Secretary of Transportation. One of the things the Board of Supervisors is struggling with is they are having to take our local tax dollars and move $1 million, $2 million of that over towards local roads. These are roads that VDOT used to maintain and build. So another issue is the revenue sharing agreement. There was an interesting discussion about that yesterday. Supervisor Lindsay Dorier from the Scottsville District asked the board if that could be revisited. Now, you know that the revenue sharing agreement moves money from the county to the city each year. There's a formula that does this. It's capped at a certain rate. I think a couple interesting points about the revenue sharing agreement the public should be aware of. One, this year it's gone up 30%, and there will be $13 million going from the county to the city. So the effective tax rate in the county that we run our operations on is really 64 cents, not 74, because a dime of that tax rate goes to the revenue sharing
agreement. Right, it's lopped off right off the top and goes to the city of Charlottesville because
that was an agreement from 1983 to stop the city's annexing of county land.
So the city said, we won't grow anymore, we won't take your county land, but you got to give us some of the tax money that we would have gotten if we did expand.
That's right. And Mr. Dorier said, can we get out of this? And the answer was, only with a referendum in both localities where everyone agrees to it.
That's not going to happen. So not going to happen in Charlottesville.
And that's what was pointed out, that the city would not want to back out of that agreement, given the value it has to them.
John, do we have a call on the line?
Yes, we do, caller.
All right, caller, go right ahead. You're on with Brian Wheeler.
Hey, guys, good afternoon.
Hello.
Hi, Brian. Listen, thanks for putting the podcast of the discussion out on the on your website. I think it should be required listening for every citizen. I mean, it was just amazing to hear some of the statements that made. I was especially taken back by Mr. Boyd, who said that the master plan, that infrastructure for master plan was not a commitment on the part of the county, not a promise to provide the infrastructure, which, I mean, really took me back. It sort of reminded me when I was in the Army and they asked me where I wanted to be stationed, and I said Hawaii, and the plane landed in Hawaii on the way to Vietnam. It was I went one way and got there another way. I was just really taken back by that.
Well, Tom, that's a great segue to one of those other issues they talked about. And I mentioned the strategic plan, but they also have these master plans. That's where we go into a community in detail and try to plan it for 20 years. Tom Loach is from Crozet. That's the only one where we have an approved master plan. We're currently in the middle of planning 29 North and Pantops. And there was discussion about, Mr. Slutsky brought up, do we have the revenues to fund the infrastructure that we promised in those plans? We brought the whole community together in Crozet. It might be Jarman's Gap Road, it might be sidewalks, it might be a library, it might be a new elementary school. Mr. Slutsky said, guys, we need to think about funding these master plans and this vision. Mr. Boyd really had a counterpoint, as Tom pointed out, that he was questioning whether that was really a promise to actually build those things, or whether it was more of a, this is a wish list, and it'd be nice if we had those things, but if we don't have the revenues, you know, we're in no way committed.
Well, this puts us right back where we were when we had all that that hoo-ha with over the Crozet master plan. It's like, why make a master plan then if it's not something that you're going to actually stick to? Why make a budget if it's not something you're going to stick to? Why go to all the expense of the time and the energy and the staff time and the community time and drag people out of their homes to talk about it if it's not something you're going to do?
Tom, you were in the middle of that. Any further thoughts?
Well, you know, what's really frustrating about this is that there is nothing that's before the board today that they should have not seen coming over the last 4 years. They knew there was going to be probably a transportation gridlock in Richmond, which there is, and yet they continue to approve development after development after development. I think what really has to be done is that we have to do the master plans all together, look at the infrastructure cost, and then go back to the public and say, this is what it's going to cost you, and you know, this is what impact it'll have on your taxes, and then see where the public goes. I mean, we have to start questioning the assumptions of the master plans and the assumptions, you know, if this board is going to sit down and say, we're not going to pay for this, we can't pay for it, then we have to question the growth assumptions made by the comprehensive plan.
I'm all for lowering the tax rate. I think it's a great idea. Tom, thank you so much for the call.
Thank you.
And I think it's always smart for government to say, well, wait a minute, let's stop, look what we're doing. Can we get by on less? Can we figure out another way to do this so it doesn't cost the taxpayers more money?
Yep.
I applaud that over and over again. That's smart. Government should be doing that.
Let me make one other point on the revenue sharing, because it's interesting. It follows a lag. So the revenue sharing this year is based on 2005 property values. So imagine what this is going to look like in next year's budget. The revenue sharing is going to go up even further because it's going to be based on the 2006 assessments, which we know just went up
15%.
Right.
So the money, the amount of money that Albemarle taxpayers send to Charlottesville is getting ready to go up
up even further next year, and there's nothing the county can do about that. So that's one of those mandated costs. This year it went up 30%. And I think some of that discussion about, you know, should we pick an index by which we will set a target for the county's growth? What challenges that proposition is some of these unfunded, or not unfunded, but these mandates from that they can't control,
yeah.
Whether it's federal mandates, state mandates, the road issue, or revenue sharing, those things all present regular challenges to the budget process in the county.
And, of course, we should point out that the county folks, the taxpayers like myself, who we send part of our tax money to the city, we get benefit from that. Most of us go to the city of Charlottesville regularly.
Well,
we use their roads. We use their – sometimes we use their transportation. We use their traffic lights. We do use that infrastructure.
Well, at a recent meeting, Mr. Slutsky and Mr. Rooker, two supervisors, said to their city councilor friends at a meeting at the MPO, Metropolitan Planning Organization, they suggested to Dave Norris and Kevin Lynch that some of that revenue sharing money be used to improve roads. So they were sort of saying back to them, you know, I know you, the city, are upset we're not building roads in the county, but hey, we're giving you guys a lot of money.
Why don't you take some of those millions of dollars that we give you and put them towards improving the roads that you're complaining about?
For those listeners concerned about the tax rate and things that are going on with the county's budget, one other area of interest, I think, is that they spent a lot of time talking about other things they could raise fees on, other taxes they could raise that wouldn't be as harmful as the property taxes is on every landowner.
And they were talking about raising money on SUVs or something, was that right? The property tax on big cars?
They were looking at personal property tax, yep, that was one of them. And there's some question as to how many of those are already maxed out. Again, the state only gives local government so much room to maneuver on these different taxes. If they wanted to levy a tobacco tax, not that that would raise that much money, but the city has the right to do that. The county can't because of action in the General Assembly. So there's a limited amount of maneuvering room here. They're also looking at Mr. Slutsky was very outspoken, saying we need to up the tax relief available to elderly residents, you know, to the max, and make sure that everyone has every, you know, escape valve possible to make this easier to live with.
Right.
But we're all in this together, and I think what was interesting about yesterday's meeting was they were all really struggling with their vision, these master plans, the revenue sharing, and the priorities. And they also are hearing from a lot of members of the community, both saying, you know, fully fund the schools, but others saying, you've got to lower my tax rate. They're going to have to balance all that.
So when is all of this going to shake out?
It's going to shake out some tomorrow. Tomorrow there's a work session, another 4 hours, on the school issues primarily. Monday there'll be a work session on capital issues, big ticket things for capital expenditures. Those two work sessions alone are a good portion of the budget.
But by when should we expect that these decisions would have been made in the next month?
In late March, they will set a course for what tax rate they're going to set and send out to public hearing. There will be a public hearing the first week of April. That's the time when the public can come and weigh in on the tax rate that's been set and give them more feedback on that.
Well, there's going to be compromise. I think both sides are going to win. Let's go real quick to the phones. Caller, go right ahead. You're on with Brian Wheeler.
Yes, my name is Mike. I'm calling from Charlottesville. And I guess one of the big issues for me, I have a business in the city. I live in the county. I don't mind paying tax to both entities. My biggest thing is, you know, the city doesn't mind coming after taxpayers when there's a shortage or a deficit. But I want to know what happens when there's a surplus, when there's a tax surplus. There's, I believe, a $5 million tax surplus, and I want to know where that money's going. That's one comment I have. Next comment I have is I think it's absolutely ridiculous that we've increased the property taxes, especially in the city, to the point where they have to go back and issue tax credits for those people, for example, that have been living in Belmont all their life. Now, all of a sudden, they can't afford to live in Belmont because they can't pay their tax bill. So something's wrong with the system.
Good point.
Mike, thank you so much for the call. Brian, real quick.
Yeah, real quick. The city is proposing to keep the tax rate the same at 99 cents. Of course, again, we covered that, but that represents a lot of additional revenue that they've received in the way of assessments.
Yeah, because property values have gone up.
And, you know, as far as the surplus goes, the city and county both last year had surpluses. They have formulas that redirect that money back into things like capital improvements.
Don't give it back.
No, they don't. In the county, it was $9 million, and that gets invested in things like the cost of projects increasing by 30-40%. So the cost of building things has gone up tremendously, and that hits local government as well. It's trying to build fire stations, renovate schools, things like that.
Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at sevilletomorrow.org. We're live at the Point Lounge, giving away tickets to Neil Bortz. Come on down and register at the Omni Charlottesville Hotel. A quick break. We'll be right back. This is Charlottesville Right Now.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit sevillepodcast.com for more.